welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of October 6th. Yes, it is October. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and Hitchcockian Melissa Hansen.
Yeah, that's one thing I did this week. I had never seen The Birds. I've seen lots of other Hitchcock, but just had never caught The Birds.
Yeah.
And I went to an outdoor screening. Angelica Theater here in Dallas is doing every Thursday in October. They're doing an outdoor screening of a Hitchcock film.
Okay.
And so I finally saw The Birds.
Nice. And?
And it was icky. It was icky. And, you know, because effects have come along a bit. There were some unintentionally funny moments.
Of course.
The whole phone booth thing
is kind of interesting.
What?
The whole phone booth.
Yeah.
When she's in the phone booth.
Yeah. The whole thing's kind of interesting. It's an interesting concept. Like, how did you, I don't know, come up with it? Or how did you think you were going to film it? I mean, they did a good job. And there were some real birds. And some of the fake stuff looked good. And some of the fake stuff looked not so good.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But, man, if Tippi Hedren had married a prince, she might be my favorite. I mean, I still got to go with Grace Kelly because she's literally a princess. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Who I adore, but Tippi was great. And Suzanne Pleshette was great in it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize she was in it.
I just knew Tippi.
Yeah. She's very young.
Yeah. The best part, the movie's like getting ready to start, and we're all sitting there, and some guy goes, "Who is the girl in this? Is she somebody?" And I'm like, oh, head smack.
Wow.
So, but the other thing I did this week, saw new TV shows, including Grace Point, which is a new Fox show. It's murder mystery, and it's based on the British show called Broadchurch.
Yes.
Which is what I also watched this week. I watched Broadchurch. It's available for purchase on Amazon. It's not free streaming anywhere, unfortunately. You can buy the season.
All right.
And so it's, like I said, murder mystery. A young boy is murdered. It's a small seaside community, you know, and it's finding out who done it. And so in Broadchurch, the police officers are played by Olivia Colman.
Uh-huh.
He was in Run, I talked about not too long ago, British series. And then David Tennant. They played the police officers doing this. Now, Grace Point, the police officers are played by Anna Gunn and David Tennant. He reprises his role. So it's the same role. So it's we only saw the first episode, but it overlaps pretty closely. They kept pretty close.
Right.
They changed, obviously, some facts. The original one was set in Britain. The American series is set in America, Pacific Northwest area. So David Tennant in Broadchurch and then Grace Point, he has a lot of the same lines.
Okay.
Right? Except in Broadchurch, it's his Scottish accent.
So.
And then in Grace Point, it's an American accent.
All right.
So it's kind of funky to see him the same role, same lines, and like two different accents saying him in.
And is it my imagination, or does he look like he's aged rapidly since
Doctor
Who?
He looks kind of shitty.
Yeah.
But it's the character.
Okay.
The character is supposed to look kind of shitty.
Okay.
So I don't know how much is. What of that? He's got a scruffy beard and he's grumpy. The character is very, very grumpy.
Wow.
So if you've only seen him like as Doctor Who, it's going to shock you a little.
Now, this is happening a lot because you reviewed for us, what was it, The Bridge?
The Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot that, Rake, the Greg Kinnear one, was actually an Australian show.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you know, nothing's original anymore.
Right.
The Bridge, they changed a bit. It's looking to me like Grace Point, they're not going to change much. They're going to change some things. Like, it's not a newsstand the kid worked at. It was, like, this kayak store. And, like, small things. But it seems like a lot. There are a lot of the same lines. But Broadchurch, it's won like a million awards. Everybody's talked about it, you know, for the past whatever year since it originally aired. It's excellent.
Nice.
It's excellent. It's also a bit of a Doctor Who reunion.
Yes.
Because like I said, David Tennant, Olivia Colman actually was in one episode of it. Arthur Darvill also stars in Broadchurch. And if you look through the resumes of a lot of the actors, there's a lot of episodes of Doctor Who in there.
Well, it's kind of like the British thing to do. I mean, you've reached the pinnacle of British film and television if you have made an appearance on Doctor Who.
Right. And also, it's just there's only so many British actors. Doing a longer running TV show, you get them all. It's kind of like Law and Order being a New York actor. Every single actor in New York has been on Law and Order.
That's true. That's the running joke.
One of them. And every single British actor has been on Doctor Who, just about. So it's interesting to go back and be like, oh, yeah, we were in Doctor Who. So anyhow, I can't recommend Broadchurch enough. And I, like I said, I'm not the only one. it's dark. You know, this dark, icky kind of stuff happening, but the actors are amazing. And I will tell you something. Olivia Colman, I really liked her in Run when I watched it. She was phenomenal in this.
Nice.
Anna Gunn's going to have to work her ass off to, you know, match her.
Okay. Very cool.
So I will definitely keep up with Grace Point, you know, for the rest of the series and see how it matches. And they are planning a series 2 for Broadchurch.
All right. Now, how are they resolving? Is it going to be the same number of episodes for Grace Point as for Broadchurch?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Oh, but I have a warning. If you're going to watch Broadchurch, don't go look at the Wikipedia page at all. Now, I know not to look
spoil
at, like,
stuff.
I know not to look at the episode summaries.
Yeah.
Because they flat out tell you. It's full of spoilers. But the general thing is usually okay.
All right.
Just, like, where it was filmed, what was filmed, who was in it.
Yeah.
And the freaking character list on Wikipedia, it says, like, so-and-so, you know, says the character's name and kind of the basic what they are, was revealed in the final episode to be the killer.
Oh, shit.
Do not look at Wikipedia if you're going to watch.
Okay.
That's your warning.
All right. Well, I've been sick off and on this weekend and wound up doing a bunch of Redbox stuff. I finally saw Muppets Most Wanted.
Okay. Everybody I know loved it.
I didn't laugh out loud until almost the end.
I think Eric and Clark really appreciated it. I think that's who. And, because it didn't get as many viewers and as great as reviews. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the people who've seen it on DVD, our reviewers who have seen it on DVD, really liked it.
I don't know.
Just wrong, right?
No, I think this goes back to me being a first-generation Muppets fan.
Yeah.
And I can't get over the fact that this is not Jim Henson and Frank Oz and Jerry Nelson and those guys doing it. I mean, Dave Goles is one of the last, is Gonzo, and he has been with the, you know, with the Muppet team since the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, the origins of the show. I'm going back to Sesame Street.
Yeah.
But the absence of Jim and Frank, now Jerry just passed away not too long ago. These guys, I mean, the characters are, they look exactly the same, and I give credit to the folks. I mean, Steve Whitmer has also been a very long-time Muppeteer.
Yeah.
And he was known for doing Rizzo. I mean, Rizzo was one of his first characters, Rizzo the Rat. And now he's doing Kermit.
Okay,
And a lot of the characters that Jim used to do as well. So I give him a lot of credit, because it's not an easy thing to do to fill those shoes. But the first joke that I laughed at out loud was Rizzo showing up saying, here's one of the most beloved Muppets who was kind of left out of the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin, who was Jerry Nelson, who is Kermit's nephew also.
Yeah.
They said a brief cameo and then they walked off. Well, Steve, of course, does Kermit and a whole bunch of the others, so there's no time to do Rizzo.
Right.
So that's a joke.
Okay.
But now there was a couple of other jokes, too. I don't know. I just... Maybe it's just me, you know, maybe it's just my disbelief in thinking that they can kind of recapture that old magic.
No matter how good they do, it's never going
to
be.
maybe. Not and unfortunately, Jim. Maybe I'm getting to that point in my life where I'm saying, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Get off my Muppet.
I do give credit to the fact that the script was much more complex than the first movie.
Okay.
With the heist thing, they did a very nice job of setting things up. The Constantine thing, the evil Kermit versus the evil frog versus the good frog, actually played out very well. The cameos are there, but if you blink it, you're going to miss them. Like Saoirse Ronan is there for 2 seconds as a ballerina when they go to Dublin, And if you don't know who Saoirse Ronan is, you're not going to get the joke.
Right.
So, no, I mean, and I guess Muppets in any form is a good thing, you know, for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's like me. Like, I'm a huge fan of the original Star Trek and not as much of a fan of the rest of the series that followed. Who knows? But it is worth checking out. I mean, and, for the next generation of people who grew up post Sesame Street and post the original Muppet Show, that their Muppets were the movies like Muppet Christmas Carol and Treasure Island and stuff like that, then this is for you. I mean, then this is it,
because we're the old ones on staff.
Yeah.
So maybe all the youngins on staff appreciated it more than you.
And I was born the year that Sesame Street first came out.
That's so cool.
I know, it's crazy. The other movie I watched was Transformers Age of Extinction.
Oh, God.
Which Dave unapologetically loves, but it just gives me a friggin' headache. Michael Bay should stick to making commercials for, like, automobiles and things like that, because he paints this gorgeous picture with sunsets and silhouettes and all this kind of stuff. But when it comes to telling stories, there was, like, three stories in this movie all crammed together. It was 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
This
is supposed to be popcorn quick. Yeah, just fun. I had to stop
two-thirds of the way through to go eat something and then come back an hour later because I was so bored by what was... I'm like, oh, really? This is not over yet? I don't know. The physics of it is ridiculous. The robots, the Transformers can sit and beat the living snot out of each other and ram each other and tear each other's hearts out and their heads off, and they're still living within an inch of their lives. But one gunshot to a massive spaceship, and it just comes crashing down in flames. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Nope.
So there's a lot of those bonehead movements. But, hey, it makes $1 billion at the box office, and they're going to keep making other ones. Mark Wahlberg is Mark Wahlberg. I mean, you know what to expect. You know what you're going to get. So it's not Megan Fox, and it's not Rosie Huntington-Wheatley or whatever, but the girl that they had played his daughter was the same, cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
She's a hot 17, 18-year-old girl.
Well, yeah.
And then, of course, they had the stoner sidekick. And the boyfriend, that dad hates. So it's all very stereotypical. It's all, I'm glad that they don't have Shia LaBeouf anymore, because between him and his parents, those movies just kept getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
If that's even possible. But if you want to sit down and watch 3 hours of shit blowing up, then here you go.
All right, then.
That's all I've got for this week. All right. Box office.
Box office. The Killer Husband just beat out the Killer Doll. Gone Girl barely won this week.
Yeah.
38 million a weekend. And then Annabelle. $37 million. All right, then. And then we have the drop off. Number 3, The Equalizer 19. The Box Trolls 12. And The Maze Runner 12.
Nice. Next week, only 2 of note. Universal tries to reboot Dracula with Dracula Untold. And the reviews are horrid. I mean, the stuff coming out is just, this is a waste of time.
Yeah.
So you can go and make up your own mind, but Universal is wanting to do what Marvel did in terms of creating a shared universe for all their monsters in the 21st century, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Uh-oh.
The other movie that you'll want to see is The Judge, starring Robert Downey Jr.
Yes, and
Robert Duvall. I actually auditioned for a small role in this, and again, I want to see, because they filmed it here in Boston.
Yeah.
It's actually set in Indiana. Why they filmed it here in...
That's bizarre.
Massachusetts is beyond me. So I'm curious to see who they cast in that role.
No, but it looks really excellent.
Yeah. DVD and Blu-ray this week. Edge of Tomorrow. Surprisingly good for a Tom Cruise movie. I am not ashamed to admit that I enjoyed it. And the sci-fi in that is very smart. Unlike Transformers.
Good. I like that.
Seth MacFarlane fans, A Million Ways to Die in the West. It's him, Charlize Theron, and Liam Neeson. American Horror Story, as Freak Show prepares to premiere, I think, next week.
This week.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. But Coven, the last series, comes to DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Okay.
John Hamm in Million Dollar Arm, where he goes to India to try and recruit baseball pitchers for the major leagues. Sleeping Beauty gets another Blu-ray edition. This one's the Diamond version. I don't know if there's any additional bonus features, but you'll probably get a DVD copy and a digital copy if that's what you want out of it. And then Psych, the complete series, is available this week, also on DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't say Blu-ray. I think that's only available on DVD in the complete.
Okay.
Redbox, again, Million Dollar Arm. Brick Mansions, which was another one of Paul Walker's many films that he was completing right before he passed away, tragically. Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart, which is another stop-motion animation film.
Mm-hmm.
Casper with Christina Ricci.
Oh!
They're like
digging
up really old movies and stuff.
Wow, that's been a while.
Yeah. And then one of the very first Redbox exclusives, Warner Brothers created Tom and Jerry and the Lost Dragon exclusively for Redbox distribution. Now, I'm sure once it leaves Redbox, it'll hit DVD, but for now, it's Redbox only.
All right, then.
Coming to Netflix this week, all television, Supernatural Season 9, Raising Hope Season 4, Heart of Dixie Season 3, Kevin Bacon's The Following Season 2, Arrow Season 2, and Tomorrow People Season 1.
All right, then.
On Hulu, Dan Curtis, the guy who gave us the original Dark Shadows, Dracula, starring Jack Palance, in the late 70s, early 80s, I believe. Frankenstein's Army, Thelma and Louise, Showgirls with Elizabeth Berkley, and Kyle MacLachlan, and Fargo, the movie, not the television series, the original Fargo, all on Hulu. That's all I've got for streaming and physical media this week.
Cool. Well, it is CW week.
Oh, yes.
This week. They let everybody else fight over the end of September.
Yeah.
And all of the shows are starting pretty much this week. Monday, the Originals is back. And then there's a special, Supernatural Behind the Scenes. Hmm. And then Tuesday, The Flash and Supernatural are on.
The Flash.
And then Sci-Fi has a new show called Town of the Living Dead.
What?
It's an unscripted series.
Oh,
it's an Alabama town who have been trying to make an independent zombie movie for like 6 years.
Yes.
Like just the people in the town decided to do it. So Sci-Fi sent cameras there to watch them do it. And if they finish it by in the next few weeks, then Sci-Fi will air it.
Oh, jeez.
But meanwhile, they're filming it and showing you that. And then if they finish it, then they will show you the movie. Okay, got that?
Yep.
All right. Wednesday, Arrow is back on CW. Uh-huh. And then American Horror Story Freak Show premieres on FX.
Okay.
Friday, ABC has a new sitcom, Cristela.
Mm.
It's a Latina.
Uh-huh.
It's their Latina show. They've got going Friday night. And then Sunday, The Walking Dead. Back on AMC.
Have you started watching that show yet?
I watched the first season. I don't like it.
Okay, I still haven't.
I don't get it. And it's whatever, zombies. I'm not the biggest fan, but whatever. That's fine. That's not my problem.
Yeah.
I think it's shitty writing and acting.
Okay.
And people talk about how good it is.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Mm.
I am not on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Yeeks. Music this week. It's a little bit of flashback. 24 Karat Gold by Stevie Nicks.
Ugh.
I know.
Garbage my ears out. No.
But Standing in the Breach from Jackson Browne.
Wow.
New one from him. And then a new one from Macy Gray.
Ooh.
Called The Way. And I know she's out on tour.
Okay.
So, and then Country Stars, Old Boots, New Dirt, Jason Aldean.
Hmm.
That is out for you. And then in books,
James Patterson.
Do it again. James Patterson, this time with Maxine Petro.
Mm.
Confessions, the Paris Mysteries. This is part of their, like, teenage detective series. Because it's a kid series and a teenage series and that, whatever.
How much money does this guy have?
I don't know. He has to be so freaking rich.
Shit.
Not even imagine. He has to be, like, the richest author working.
Wow.
All right. Anyhow, another, actually, young adult series, The Heroes of Olympus, series 5. It's called The Blood of Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a whole bunch of great nonfiction, rockin' nonfiction, should I say. Dancing with Myself by Billy Idol.
Oh.
And how great. Man, he just had that title sitting there. And then Rocks, My Life in and Out of Aerosmith by Joe Perry.
Oh, well, that would be interesting.
Yeah. Let's see, for sports fans, Scribe, My Life in Sports by Bob Ryan, who is the Boston Globe reporter forever and ever. And then Worthy Fights, A Memoir of Leadership in War and Peace by Liam Panetta, who is head of the CIA and representative and Clinton's chief of staff. Yep. And yeah, like 100 things in government he was. So that's out for you history buffs. And then I'll mention these for my friend Hannah. We got a couple cookbooks out. My Perfect Pantry, 150 Easy Recipes from a 50 Essential Ingredients by Jeffrey Zakarin, who is one of the judges on Chopped, if you guys watch Food Network. And then wait till I tell you the author on this one. The title is Around the Table, Recipes and Inspiration for Gatherings Throughout the Year by Martina McBride.
Wow.
She's not going to let Trisha Yearwood be the only cooking country singer, man.
Oh, geez.
She is coming in. All right. Theater this week. We get a little bit film theater crossover.
Okay.
They're making a BBC film of The Dresser.
Ooh.
The play The Dresser, which I saw at Steppenwolf.
Yes, with years ago. Tracy Letts and... don't remember.
But this one, ready for this?
Yes.
Ian McKellen and Anthony Hopkins.
Shut up.
Hello. It's about a Shakespearean actor and his dresser, which is literally a job in the theater.
And this actor is kind of going through dementia or Alzheimer's kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his dresser, who literally, you know, customer dresses him.
Right.
Anyhow, it's a great story. But Ian McKellen, Anthony Hopkins, hello. So they're getting ready to film that. I'll let you know. We'll let you know for sure when it's out. Other, I was mentioning Steppenwolf, which is my favorite theater. It's in Chicago. Anna D. Shapiro has been named the new artistic director.
Very cool.
She's taking over from Martha Leiby, who has done it for a very, very long time. But if you know theater at all, you actually know Anna. She won the Tony for August Osage County.
Yep. She directed Of Mice and Men with James Franco and Chris O'Dowd, which I saw. It was John Mahoney who played opposite Tracy
it
Letts.
It was. Thank you.
Yes.
So anyhow, that's big news for Chicago theater.
Yeah. And it's good because if any of you know kind of the Steppenwolf style of theater, it's very kind of gritty, in your face, unabashedly.
Experimental.
So it is. And Martha has kind of cultivated that over the years, but Anna is the perfect person to carry that torch.
Because, yeah, they will definitely stay how they are.
Yeah. Box Trolls, you mentioned, being still at the, you know, making money at the box office.
Yes.
The folks, Leica Animation, who did Paranorman and Box Trolls, have signed for 3 more animated stop-motion animation features.
All right, then.
So the art form is not dead, as a lot of people had been predicting.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Olympic legend Michael Phelps has just announced today that he's going into rehab after his second DUI.
Yes.
He said he needs to understand himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he is stepping away from swimming and...
to understand him, too.
Yeah. Right. Disney CEO Bob Iger, who has had amazing success succeeding Michael Eisner's administration, has extended his contract through 2018. A lot of times these CEOs will have open-ended contracts, but Iger has been one of these guys who wanted specific, like, 3-year segments.
Yeah.
And he would only renew if it made sense for him to do so, and it certainly makes sense given what they're going through. I mean, the purchase of Lucasfilms, and it's been very, very lucrative for them.
Yes.
Speaking of lucrative, Netflix has kind of turned Hollywood on its ear this week. They first signed an exclusive deal with the Weinstein Company to produce and distribute Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon 2.
Yes.
And take it to theaters as a Netflix product.
And interesting.
And the theater owners had said, fuck no. We are not letting you do this. So it's making a lot of people nervous. So not only that, then they signed Adam Sandler to a 4-picture deal.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting to see how this all ends up.
Yeah.
Wow.
And meanwhile, the studios are all going through these heavy employment cuts and downsizings. Mm-hmm.
It's all changing, man.
It's up for grabs. Something that is people, there's a lot of people scratching their heads over this one, but speaking of Netflix, Marvel has cast Dule Hill as Luke Cage.
Love Dule.
For their next, oh, and I love him too, but when you think of Luke Cage, the character, in terms of how he's been portrayed in the comic books,
mm-hmm.
he is more like the size of The Rock as opposed to what Dule is. So I don't know if Dule's going to go and bulk himself up or if they're just going to take a very different approach to the character. Curious to see. Nick Frost of Shaun of the Dead and World's End, Simon Pegg's frequent collaborator, mm-hmm. is the guest star on the Doctor Who Christmas special this year.
Nice.
So just as the new season was launching, Stephen went off to write it. Jenna Coleman promises there will be a very big twist to the end of this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see, because they've laid out some things, some very mysterious mm-hmm. things they've been planting seeds for that we don't understand, and how those are all going to come together. I'm very curious to see.
Yes.
The 100-year-old silent film, what may be the very first film version of Sherlock Holmes, was discovered in the vaults of the Cinémathèque Française, the French film archive.
What happened?
I don't know. They found it when they were going through
what is involved.
Old nitrates and stuff. So
why has no one checked this already?
They're very rapidly going and restoring the film so that they can release it. But it's been one of those things that everybody's talked about and referenced still pictures from.
Yeah.
But nobody has seen. So very cool.
Do they not ever clean out closets? Do they not just clean them in France? What is with this?
And they still think that a lot of private collectors, you know, families who have passed stuff down from generations, may have other films that are missing. Like, there's a whole bunch of Charlie Chan films with Warner Olin and Sidney Toll that are gone, that were released but never seen again. So, you know, hopefully some of that's
track of this.
I don't know. Back in the day, they didn't care. It wasn't a big deal. That's all I've got for news, but I want to send out a very hearty congratulations to our very own Brett Cullum, who married his longtime partner Lee Ingalls this past weekend. We wish the two of them all the best.
Yes, and to our wonderful Clark and his wife Rebecca, the birth of their first child.
Yep.
Congrats. We got lots of family growth going on. Yep,
exactly.
With the Furtick family. Yep. It's great.
All right.
So... okay, go from, like, nice families to wackadoodle families. So, Justin Bieber was in Paris with Selena Gomez.
Okay.
They're so on and off, and God knows what he's drugging her with. No, I'm just, that was a joke. I wasn't accusing him of anything. Sorry, don't sue me. But Kendall Jenner was in Paris doing fashion shows, and then her and Bieber were, like, having dinner.
Oh, gross.
So we'll have to wait and see what's happening there. Does he care at all?
No.
No, not at all. No. All right. Anyhow.
No. Do we have a contest this week?
We do. It's a kids one. It's an animated just in time for Halloween.
Yes.
It actually comes out next week, October 14th from ARC Entertainment. It's called Under Wraps. So it's an animated mummy movie.
Nice.
And then Brooke Shields, Drake Bell, and Matthew Lillard do voices in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For them.
This should be a fun one for
the
kid.
That's an industry I would love to crack into. There's a great documentary on Netflix called I Know That Voice.
Yeah.
Where they look at all the voice acting. I've always wanted to crack into that business. It's not an easy thing to do, but I think it would be a hell of a lot of fun. So, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. We greatly appreciate you reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com, the listening to our podcast at DVDverdictPresents.com, and following us as we migrate over to DailyVerdict.com. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Shouting out these pathetic words. Goodbye. Goodbye.